OG Podcast Network presents.
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mindy's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even the superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Mr. Mauer, and with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. P Features.
Hello, internets.
And my only begotten son, Baby Huey.
Are we still going with that?
We're still going with that.
Oh, you're his son.
Beep you again.
Search your feelings.
You know it to be true.
No!
So, Menti's still not here. He actually was getting better, but I went over to visit him and decided I like doing the show without him so much.
Is that why you took a crowbar with you?
Well, it was a sledgehammer.
Oh, okay.
And a 2x4. And I gently placed the 2x4 between his legs at his ankles and told him that he has to stay there, and that's it.
You sure?
Misery loves company, you know?
But you're not there.
Yeah, you're here.
Well, he's by himself, giving himself company. It'll teach him. But the show must go on. No? Show
won't
go on? You guys miss him?
Yeah.
It's all right. Features, come on. It's me here. Come on. Come on.
Baby Huey,
what he did to you.
Don't drag me into this.
You know, what he did to Late Shift when you weren't looking. You know you want this to happen to him.
I see where you're going with this.
He ruined Late Shift for you.
Embrace the hate. No? All right. Well, today's a Saturday show. What does that mean?
Means it's not the new news.
Oh, yeah.
I like this new one.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not the new news. We got a topic. And with Aquaman surprising everybody but me. And
this
doing
is actually true.
And doing so well, it reminds me of another superhero that got turned into a film that surprised everyone and did well and started a movie revolution. And who
Blade?
Could I be talking about? Come on, son.
Blade.
What, did he not start a movie revolution?
He did not.
No, Blade Trinity started that.
But Iron Man, character that wasn't really all popular.
Hey, people forget, before Iron Man came out,
he wasn't popular.
He was a C-list character.
He was a drunk.
B-list. He was a B-list character. He'd been involved in a lot.
B-minus.
B-minus.
But, I mean, seriously, let's look at that. These characters, why were they chosen to have these movies? And I think the one thing is clear. It's not like Batman or Superman or Spider-Man, where when you put this on film, you're expected to have story plot point A, B, and C. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a Spider-Man movie, except for the new one, like, you expect to see Uncle Ben die.
Yeah.
Except the MCU is totally ignoring that Uncle Ben even freaking existed.
That's not true.
We don't know how he died or what's going on.
Yeah, we do. We've seen him die for like 3 straight films.
But with Iron Man, let's start there. They were able to go back and give us an origin story that wasn't really like anything we had seen before.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Vietnam or, you know, it was...
It wasn't the Mandarin.
No, it was a good story.
Yeah.
And then when they talked about him developing the Iron Man armor, even that was different than the comic books.
True.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, this story was so well received, and to be honest, Robert Downey Jr.
killed it.
Killed it so much.
Tony Stark.
Well, yeah, he's now our Tony Stark in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
They made the comics based around what that character was brought to life. When you guys saw Iron Man in the movie theaters, what was your expectation for it?
I actually didn't have high expectations for Iron Man. He wasn't one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Is he now?
He's still not one of my favorite Marvel characters, but I love the Iron Man films. I love Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
I was actually really excited for it because, weirdly enough, at the time, I just really started getting into Iron Man. I was reading all the comics because that's when he was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics at that point.
Right.
So I was just really getting into it. And, you know, being a toy guy, I love all the different variants and, you know, different costumes you can get. And Iron Man is the pinnacle of that with all the different armors. So once I started getting into it, I really fell in love with the character.
He's totally geeking out.
Yeah. Well, Iron Man, he's a toy guy. I mean... Iron Man is the best basis of a toy manufacturer could ever because he's got 40 million different outfits.
Right.
Now I see why Disney went with Iron Man.
Right?
They knew.
Well, actually, Iron Man was an independent film.
It was an independent film.
It was.
One of the largest grossing independent films of all time.
Yes.
Next to John Wick. Because John Wick, I think, is...
John Wick's independent?
John Wick's an independent film.
I did not know that.
Yep.
So we've got these characters that... We didn't have expectations, but we also allowed the film to have freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we get to Aquaman, and I know Features, you're not a huge fan, but you know, you're that riding that line of hate and love.
Yeah.
So let's lean onto the love side a little bit for today. All right, just tip your toes on the love side.
But it hurts.
Oh my God.
Going into that movie, what was your expectation for the origin of Aquaman?
The origin of Aquaman, it was fair.
But your expectation of it was half Atlantis, half human, and that's pretty much where it ended, right?
Yeah.
So the rest of the story, they got to do whatever they wanted with.
Yeah.
They weren't held down. The character of Iron Man. This was a far cry from the Super Friends goofy writing, the goofy looking.
Some Aquaman.
Yeah.
You said Iron Man.
Sorry, Aquaman. But like it's far from, you know, the cheese factor that they gave him all these years. And they almost reveled in, hey, nobody cares about this character. We're going to have fun with it.
And they did.
They did. They had a lot of fun with it.
Wouldn't you like to see more like this?
Actually, yeah, I would.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting a little burnt out on going into the movie, having them dangle a storyline from a comic that we love in front of us, being disappointed that they changed it, because we are all hardwired to be like, okay, well, they're going to do the Mandarin and the storyline with the Mandarin.
Yeah.
This is what we want to see with a Mandarin story.
Iron Man 3 looking at you.
Yeah.
Which, in hindsight, I kind of like what they did there because it goes back to what they started with Iron Man, which is kind of turning it on its head and making its own thing.
I was, when I left the theater after Iron Man 3, I was so pissed off. But now that I've rewatched it a few times.
It's actually better than you thought.
Yes, because I had time to actually.
I was like the one of the few people that liked Iron Man 3.
I like all the Iron Man movies. But when you go in there with this expectation, and I'm going to twist the anger button on you, the X-Men films.
Come on, man.
But like when you go in with the Phoenix Saga, we're not going to get that in this movie.
Did they cancel that? Because that'd be great.
Look at his eyes. He's so...
But that's because we have these thoughts of these movies.
Yes.
What if we went in and we didn't have expectations? It was a character. We knew it's a comic character. We know, hey, we have a little bit of an idea of this character. But we're not as invested into it. Do you think we'll actually start enjoying movies again?
Possibly like Shazam coming out.
Right, Shazam. Any of us have a tie to Shazam as a character?
No.
None.
Any of us excited to see that movie?
Yeah, I'm actually, yeah.
Why are you guys excited to see the movie?
Looks fun.
It looks.
Go more than it's fun. I mean.
Not that it just looks fun. I think the film is actually going to give us a better insight to Shazam. Like, I wasn't a big Shazam reader, right? And that will put me in the category of the casual moviegoer for that film. Mm-hmm. I know about Shazam, sure, but now I get to actually see something that's going to stick with me now. And so they're pretty much recreating the character for me.
Right.
So that's going to be my jump off point.
Your jump off point for Shazam.
I'm saying with Features. Like, I'm going there looking to learn about him.
We all get to be Shucky. I mean, you think about it. Shucky's love for these movies is it's introducing him to a world that he doesn't know much about. For any of those listening, Shucky is one of the guys that comes on to our show, does a great Stewie impression.
Yes.
He used to do the We're the Walking Dead. But his entrance into comic books was these movies. And I've been envious of some of these people that get to witness Batman and Superman and these characters like Aquaman for the first time.
Right.
I don't know when the last time going into a comic book movie that, especially since doing the show, there wasn't a weight of some kind on our shoulders where there's an expectation. Are we going to know this? Are we going to find all the Easter eggs? Or, you know, there's a quote that goes around the internet every now and then, like, being a fan of something doesn't mean you have to be the expert on it.
Right.
But in our world, it almost, you have to be the expert of everything to be able to enjoy it.
That's because our world flows inside out.
But these movies are kind of making us, we can go in and not know everything.
Right.
Well, I want to say this. We're, 10 years into the MCU now, correct?
Yes.
How many of the Marvel movies have been, like, been direct adaptations from the comics?
None
of them. Not direct. So loosely based.
Right. So we're 10 years into it. You think by now you could go into the movie not expecting to see the comic book.
But they keep dangling, like, throwing the title Civil War onto a movie.
That was harsh.
Like, that come on.
That was hard, because you expected something out of that. I mean, you got it, but...
We got a good movie out. We got heroes fighting heroes.
Right.
But did we get the Civil War comic?
No.
No, and we're not going to. That's my thing. We're not going to get any of these comic books directly, you know, from the comic pages to the screen. It's not going to happen.
Well, I think that's because with Marvel, they've really walked this line of, this is what happened in the comic. You know we can't do exactly this. We're going to give you something similar to it.
But why not? You have all these amazing comic book writers.
On DC now.
Anywhere. But just have them write you a good story.
Yeah.
Which I think that's what they're doing with these B characters. They're not really diving deep into the lore in these stories that... I mean, because face it, there's Aquaman fans out there.
Yeah, definitely.
There's diehard Aquaman fans.
Mm-hmm. There's Namor fans out there too.
One. He's on a crappy podcast, though.
He's looking at you, Features.
This is a crappy podcast.
That's, I know, right? That's a little...
but like Superman. I mean, we can have a Superman movie that's not tied to anything. I think Superman's one of the few where they do, the few movies they do have kind of a movie-only story.
Okay, example. For Superman, if... They could literally take the Superman character and do whatever they want with it, because we all know the origin. It's kind of pointless to do an origin story. You could create a new villain for Superman. Like, what was it? Which movie was it where they created a guy out the sun and it made him fight Superman?
Right.
That mm-hmm. guy, I don't even think he even existed in the comics. I don't even remember him in a comic.
If at least back then he didn't.
Right.
But when we get Batman and we're going to see The Dark Knight Rises, and they hint that they're going to be doing the Bane storyline, Nightfall, and they hint they're going to be doing No Man's Land, they're telling us, ooh, we're taking clues from your favorite comic books. You're going in there thinking they're at least going to nail some part of that. And when they completely miss the mark of that comic, I almost wish they would have not said, this is our influences.
Right.
And let you go into it with open eyes and go, oh, I can see like some homages to these storylines. But they feel like they have to loop us in by saying, oh, you love Nightfall. We're going to do part of that. Oop, you love No Man's Land. We're going to do a part of that.
True. Like, we're going to go see it regardless.
We got
at
everything
this point.
In The Dark Knight Rises except for Jean-Paul Valley.
Right. So... We've got room to play. There are millions and millions and millions of stories out there, and there's tons of characters out there. What we've seen with Aquaman, and for some little bit in the Arrowverse, Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, true.
Elongated Man.
Mm-hmm.
Rag Man.
Yeah.
Some of our favorite parts of comic live action have been these characters that we don't have connection to. But now we're like, I freaking love Elongated Man.
He's awesome.
Right?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, because you know what? A lot of the B characters, when they don't translate well in the books, visually, they can be something greater.
But you also have an actor, a writer, and a director that has free reign to go, let's have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we, as someone that's been reading these books over and reading these stories and diving into our characters for so long, get something fresh and new that we go, wow, I never read this, but this is pretty cool. So I wanted to give you guys, that was a very long-winded way of giving you guys a question.
Yeah, 15 minutes in here.
What kind of characters would you like to see? Now that you say it, Azrael would be a good standalone movie.
Exactly.
Let me start off that. Like, what kind of characters would you like to see a movie or a TV show with? And what kind of genre and why? So Azrael, let's just start there. That could be...
That would be like the Da Vinci Code.
Right, like a Da Vinci Code type superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be even tied to Batman. You can see him training in the, the Dumas.
The Order of St. Dumas.
Yeah, the Order of St. Dumas, like him going through that.
Yeah.
People might not even realize that it's a comic book.
That's true.
I
mean, on top of that, you don't have to put him in the Batman suit because he has his own costume.
And honestly, the two swords he uses are freaking awesome. Like, Menti's not here, so I don't have to defend it. Azrael is a good character. His storyline and his backstory is really cool, but not many people know that.
Yeah, it's because you've only got him in such small glimpses that you've had to have his background fleshed out over so many issues and like very spread apart.
But you throw a movie up there, they can kind of play with it and do a little bit of like secret society, supernatural.
Yeah, in one fell swoop, then it's an amazing story.
That character good. So
that could work.
I challenge you guys. Give me a character and an elevator pitch of why that movie and that character to get a movie. Who wants to go first?
No, I'm not good at the elevator pitches. But my first character, I'll say, one second.
Hold on, Azrael, for those of you that don't know, John Paul Valley took over the mantle of Batman in Nightfall. He is an assassin who has supernatural swords at some point. Just an overall cool character, ancient society. Protecting Earth from the supernatural ways.
Okay, so my first character of choice would be Speedball.
Who?
Speedball. So for those unfamiliar with Speedball, Speedball is from the New Warriors?
Yes.
Yeah, the New Warriors team. You may remember him from the beginning of Civil War. his team's kind of the catalyst for all of it.
Well, his team was, the New Warriors were that... reality TV show teen superhero.
Right.
Yeah.
And Speedball's abilities is pretty much he kind of like has kinetic energy around him and it kind of gathers up in his presence, kind of creates this aura where anything that he makes impact against, he sends him in the opposite direction, flying at like this outrageous speed. So
the human pinball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he can also channel that energy and use it to throw it at people too as well. So
that could be a good comedy.
It could be a comedy, action. It could be what Ant-Man was.
Yes.
Well, in my head already, because I know who Speedball is and who he becomes later on.
Right.
I'm sorry, seeing a three
who's become later on?
Three movie arc, right? Whereas he becomes Penance.
Mm.
Now, Penance is an awesome character. We've mentioned Penance on the show. I forget the number of victims from the
190 something,
whatever. But Penance's character is because he has his powers when things touch him.
Yeah.
Well, he has an armor that has the number of victims as spikes on the inside of the armor.
Wow.
Always putting him.
Yeah, piercing him.
That are piercing him and putting him in pain. But that's always activating his.
Yeah. After the explosion, his powers slightly changed a little bit, whereas he needed pain to then focus the kinetic energy. So he donned this like armor, like Maurer said, had all these spikes in it that was, you know, piercing him, that causing the pain, that was able to use his powers. He had joined the new Thunderbolts at the time when Norman Osborn was in charge. But I can see a three movie arc where as you start a Speedball, something happens at the end of the first movie, turns into Penance, and then in the third movie, redemption back into Speedball.
And people would have no idea what that character is.
Yeah.
No,
right.
But and other reason why I chose it, because I think visually that would be like amazing.
Yeah, I mean, because you're gonna have speed and like that's a real, and I would have never thought of that character, but
that's awesome.
Anytime I see that character in something, I'm always like, oh, that's a pretty cool character.
Yeah,
Baby Huey, what you got?
So for my first one, I've got Ted Kord, Blue Beetle.
Hey,
isn't that kind of cheating? Because aren't they thinking of doing a Blue Beetle?
But they were going to do the kid.
They were into the kid. Oh. Yeah, I wanted Ted. Well, actually, no, they were going to do a Ted Kord. Booster Gold.
Yeah.
I want to see an actual Ted Kord one from the beginnings.
So break down Blue Beetle, Ted Kord.
Yeah, because you said I was the only person that liked Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. No, you were wrong. Or maybe that was Minty.
Yeah.
Whoever. They was wrong.
Son.
I mean, Ted Kord is a Steve Ditko creation. Really smart. He creates a Blue Beetle suit. Has got like a ray gun. Has awesome, like, it's a flying Blue Beetle ship. Yep. It was really cool. I just enjoy, like, he
kind of like a detective, right?
Yeah, he was more of a spy, they said. So I would love to see like a spy-ish movie with Kord.
Yep.
You could almost do with that. Here's my pitch coming back out. Mm. You could do like the those bumbling spy movies.
Okay.
Where like he gets the Blue Beetle armor, doesn't quite know how to use it. You know, they send him out on mission. Like they're, you know, they could even create, because it's a B character, a Blue Beetle before him.
Right.
Well, there was one before him.
See, I didn't know much about the character. But he takes over the suit and, like, he has to go save the day. Ant-Man a la James Bond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Or Get Smart.
Get Smart.
I love the show.
Can we get a shoe phone?
But I think that's a character...
Missed it by that much.
Because you could make that visually awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yes. That could be badass, like, Iron Man looking, but adding a different layer of humor to it.
Right.
All right, so I was going to go with, I mean, obviously Moon Knight, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
You can't get much more D-list than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's not wrong.
But I'm going to go to DC's The Spectre.
Ooh.
Good choice. Any of us know, The Spectre was a cop that was murdered with his fiance, dumped in the water. His spirit refused to cross over. And he was sent back to Earth to avenge his death by something no other name but the Voice.
Right.
Turns out he's the Spectre. He avenges it, but he's got godlike powers.
Yeah, the Spectre is also known as, was it the right hand of God?
Yep.
So,
and the Voice supposedly was God sending him back to Earth.
I used to love the Spectre.
So the green costume, it's cloaked, but he's kind of like a noir detective. So you could do a film. A noir style film,
which you love,
that gumshoe kind of dark and dirty movie, and have supernatural element to it, and have a superhero that could just pop on screen, and we haven't gotten that. I mean, we tried doing The Spirit.
Yeah, I was going to say The Spirit,
but that was Frank Miller bombing.
I like The Spirit. It was silly.
Didn't we get a 20-minute? Movie, a 20-minute episode or something with Spectre in the Shazam Superman animated movie.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
But the Spectre is a super cool character. It could be dark. It could be their answer to Ghost Rider.
I think the Spectre, because there's so many layers to that character, and there's like very little that I do know about him. What I do know about him is just like there's so much that can be done there. That would be a phenomenal film.
That would be cool.
I mean, you could have so much to that character about the origin and what they're, I mean, and then you have room for crossovers and just telling other stories. Like, you could tell a dual story of him trying to catch a criminal. It turns out that's a criminal that kills him, so he's now continuing his journey.
Right.
I think it's visually a stunning character.
One just popped in my head, because you said with him, Deadman.
Well, so that, it was Spectre / Deadman. And Deadman's a trapeze artist that was killed by the villain, The Hook.
Hmm.
Captain Hook?
That he can take over the body of someone, which is always funny when he's in the other superhero and has their powers. And
my favorite episode with a Deadman was in Justice League Unlimited. At the end of one of the episodes, he jumps into Batman's body because someone's sneaking up behind Batman is going to shoot him. He jumps in Batman's body, rolls out, grabs a gun, shoots the guy. And then Deadman leaves the body, and Batman's sitting there holding a gun, and he freaks out. Because he technically just killed somebody with a gun.
But Deadman's kind of a wise-assed.
Yeah.
But both, either, honestly, they're both DC, so you could have a Spectre film.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it, you could have a stinger with Deadman kind of bumping into each other.
Good.
And then imagine a buddy cop, Spectre-Deadman. Because Spectre is kind of that serious, all-powerful.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to take over somebody's body to kick some ass. It'd
be like Men in Afterlife.
Yes, it would. So
literally.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's something we haven't seen. Like, we haven't seen that kind of story yet.
No, there hasn't really been, no.
Wow. Just to follow up on that, I was going to do my next character, which was another Marvel character. However, just brief, since we went to DC, I was thinking Wildcat from Justice Society.
Are you going to have to break down Wildcat?
Let me see. So Wildcat, I think it's Ted Grant.
Yes.
He essentially was a former heavyweight boxer, and he got caught up in the underworld of crime. So he donned a cat suit, so to speak, a wildcat suit, to actually clear his name, because he was set up for some specific crime. And to clear his name, he donned a cat suit and fought that.
He's basically Rocky.
Yeah, but with a costume.
Suit, yeah. With a costume.
But you know what I liked about him, though? Well, there's another tidbit to him. There was also like a later iteration where he had kind of like this 9-live spell cast on him, which was like, even though he was like super old, he was still like young and in shape.
And he trained Black Canary.
Yeah. But he was like, he was vicious. Like, he was a boxer, but he, in the books, it showed him being more of a hand-to-hand combatant, like throwing kicks.
He was that barrel-chested barroom, backroom boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take people out, too. That was the other thing I liked about him.
You could throw so many cameos into that movie with him training people.
Yeah.
Well, and he becomes kind of the centerpiece of other characters. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's what ties in. Because I think that's, you know, we're not going to get away from this connected world.
Right.
So you can take him and have him be the night nurse, so to speak.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
You know, he starts off in one movie, it's this and that person goes. And then, you know, I would love to see, you know, a Wildcat Black Canary.
Meh.
That'd be cool.
Like, that would be an awesome. And those two characters by themselves would have a damn good movie.
Yeah, I think that if they were to do something like with Wildcat, it would be, for me, I imagine a cross between Netflix Daredevil and Green Arrow.
Well, that would be a good show.
Yeah.
Like, I think Wildcat would make an amazing show, because you could just have different stories being told.
Mm-hmm. You have Wildcat replace Black Lightning on the CW.
Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine that on Netflix, like, each, you know, each season you introduce two characters and you kind of follow their story. And they could be characters, you don't have to show their origin. You know, they could already be existing, and they come across him and he, you know, has to help them.
Yeah, you're experiencing him meeting them for the first time, so he doesn't know their origin, so you don't know their origin.
Right.
It kind of worked out.
That's a good one. Huey, what else you got?
All right, so for my second one, I want to go with a team.
All right.
Okay. And this team...
The Metal Men.
No.
That would be a good one, though.
Now, and this team has had so many different members and different iterations of it, I figured you can basically go in any direction.
Justice League.
The Thunderbolts.
Ooh. Hmm.
And... Like I said, the original Thunderbolts was a villain team.
Yeah, Baron Zemo.
It was Zemo's Masters of Evil masquerading as heroes after the Onslaught battle.
Yep.
So you could start off with that. Like, and I would see this as
my iteration that I think we're going to get in the MCU.
Well, with Red Hulk.
I would like this to be like a TV show. I fear it'd be a better drawn out, because you can go into backstories.
Basically,
of characters.
Legends of Tomorrow, only Thunderbolts. Each season, you trade some characters out.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That works. I can see that.
Now, who would be your starting cast?
Since he's already introduced in the MCU, I would start out with Thunderbolt Ross, but not him, not as Red Hulk. You can maybe make him Red Hulk mid-season, or, you know, near the end of the season. But, oh, man. Throw Punisher on there, since his show's most likely going to get canceled in about
Bullseye a month. As Hawkeye. Bullseye as Hawkeye.
Well, I'm not even talking about with them just masquerading like as the new Avengers, just them.
Just the straight up Thunderbolts?
Yeah, just be the straight up Thunderbolts.
That would be cool.
You get Red Hulk, Deadpool, Punisher, Elektra, and Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
That would be.
I mean, there's so many characters in limbo right now in the MCU that they've already introduced, like Ghost Rider. We don't know where he's at right now.
He's in limbo.
He is literally in limbo. But yeah, you can pull from him. You can pull some of these Netflix shows that are possibly ending, you know, recast them if you want to, but pull in Punisher. You can pull in Daredevil.
Do you guys mind if I cheat a little bit?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to tell you a tale.
Uh-oh.
And this is going to get to be the tale I want to see from my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
I want a Sinister movie.
Okay.
All right. So Mr. Sinister features you and I both, one of our favorite villains. I've got his first appearance. I just love Sinister. Dr. Nathaniel Essex, genetics expert, you know, always playing with mutant DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love for it to be just him and the Mutant Massacre. Mutant Massacre is the X-Men story where all the Morlocks get killed, but he uses his four horsemen, which one of them at that time who helps him is Gambit.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So you could have literally Gambit's origin be the origin that none of the X-Men even knew at first.
Yeah.
So when people think of Gambit, they think of the hero Gambit.
Yeah.
But you could have Gambit be the overpowered mutant that goes to Sinister to have his powers reduced. And in exchange, he has to get all the Morlocks killed. And here's the twist. He doesn't save the Morlocks.
Right.
And he just goes off on his own. You would get not only a character in it that you could root for that fails you at the end.
Hmm.
But then that sets up his own character story arc for redemption later. I mean, and you now have a villain who can set himself up in the center of a universe that shows that they are pure evil.
That could work.
And in the Morlocks, you have all those characters you can throw in there that are just awesome characters.
Yeah.
You get the X-Men to come save the day at the end. Like, there's a lot you can do with that with B-rated team members. You know, you only need Storm, really, to go through that.
Storm, Kitty Pryde.
But, you know.
You don't really need, you can change it up.
The Mutant Massacre would be one of the storylines, as much as we all love it. The details of it aren't as fresh or in the front of our mind.
It's not.
As like a Civil War.
That's all, like the Mutant Massacre is always this, it's like this, it's like this mythical creature of a story that you know exists.
But and we've all read, but.
It's like, you know, you never think about it until you, like something gets brought up. You go, oh yeah, that did happen.
Right? So.
And there's so many layers to it.
I really feel that Disney and Marvel Studios, since they have the X-Men, don't start with an X-Men movie.
That's a completely different take.
If, now just deal with me, I'm bringing this full circle back to the beginning. If the DCU started today with Aquaman, how excited would you be for the future of that universe?
Eh.
Well, think about it. Aquaman's your least favorite character, and you went in and you liked that. If you knew you had Wonder Woman, Batman, The Flash, and a Justice League movie coming forward based on that, it'd be different because you started with a character you didn't really care about. It's what Marvel did.
I see what you're saying. I don't know, me personally, again, I'll leave myself out of it because...
Now, I don't want to see... I don't want to see an X-Men movie. We've seen how many iterations of Cyclops at this point and Jean Grey.
Well, two, technically.
But it's just... It's just boring. Like, the X-Men are getting boring. It's Spider-Man with Uncle Ben dying over again.
It's boring because Fox was doing it.
Doesn't matter. If we get that same story of them coming together... Now, if we get introduced to them after a Sinister movie and they're already a team and they found out about this massacre happening and then now they're hunting down Sinister...
Different story.
Well, you don't even need them to... You can already have this movie start with them as a team already.
I feel like...
Kind of how the first X-Men movie was.
Kind of like Spider-Man.
They already were a team. You kind of introduced Wolverine.
It'd be kind of like Spider-Man Homecoming. You didn't get an origin story. We just went straight into a whole another story.
That's true.
And it introduced us to the first good villain of the MCU.
Loki?
No. Vulture.
Well, he wouldn't be the first good villain. Loki was the first good villain.
He's
their only good villain.
Yeah.
Well, okay, their only good villain, but the second good villain. Yeah. Let me say that.
So, I mean, I think these companies had it right in the beginning with using these second tier characters to tell their stories and start them as a jumping off point. I think by us diving now in and starting, okay, we need Batman versus Superman.
Mistake. All
right. Yeah, it was a mistake.
Like, you can't live up to that as your starting point.
Nope. Yeah,
they set the expectation too high.
But
that would have been great for like Justice League 2. But they're already friends. No, and yeah, now something's thrown apart.
It's a standalone film.
Tower of Babel reversed.
Yeah.
You know, if you did Tower of Babel bringing everybody together, and I think I said this on an issue way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have all the individual movies. Darkseid's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Batman has to think of a way to bring everybody together. And he shows everybody that they all can be beat individually. That's why they come together to go against Darkseid.
That would have been perfect.
Boom.
Lawyered.
On that note, Menti Free. Do that thing.
What?
Features. We're Menti Free.
Words.
Oh. You can find us on all social media platforms under Welcome to Fireside or on Twitter at Fireside Crew. Also, don't forget to look for us on the OG Podcast Network. That's ogpodcastnetwork.com or
the app. Listen, don't forget to like and share and comment. We are not the big media machine
that you think we are.
who thinks that?
You'd be surprised.
But it's not like you're commenting on, I can't say this because Kevin Smith does comment on a lot of stuff. But like we still really enjoy talking to everybody.
Yeah.
When we're, you know, a giant conglomerate, we might not care about the little people. Menti will. But seriously.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Seriously, you know, ask us questions, comments. Get a debate started. Get us angry. I think some of our best comments online have been when we all disagree on something.
Yeah.
So invite people to Firesiders Group. You know, we are a place for nerds to be free. Even though some of us disagree quite frequently, we still love the conversation.
Maurer and I fight constantly.
Yeah, we do. Because he's my son and I'm not
proud.
Oh my
god.
On
I'm
that
older
note,
than you.
Listen, that's some comic shit right there. I'm your daddy.
Super baby.
Yes.
I'm Cable.
Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Deuces.
Damn it, baby.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Excelsior.